Set it up. Hour number three. What's going on? I am Jim Rome. Having such a good day. Nice to have you here. Welcome back. You're in the jungle. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Let me quickly run down what's going on in the NCAA tournament. First up, a bracket alert. Minnesota, a 10. Up on Louisville, 68-56. Now it's 70-56. 70-56, just under 6 minutes to go in that game. There is a bracket alert. Those of you who thought that LSU was in danger and that Yale might get them, a 14-3 game, doesn't look like it. Not right now. 51-37 LSU, 15-42 to go in that game. First half, Auburn up on New Mexico State. That's a 12-5 matchup. Auburn's the 5. They're up 28-19. 5.5 minutes to go in the first half. Florida State and Vermont underway. Upset alert. UVM 2-0 on Florida State. A lot of people think that Florida State's going down in that game. A lot of people coming for Coach Ham. I'm not one of them. I am not one of them. Florida State down 2-0. That game's just underway. Bracket alert. UVM 2. Florida State nothing. That's why I'm here. Bradley and Michigan State is going to tip within the hour. That's a 15-2 matchup. Belmont and Maryland tipping after the top of the hour. That's an 11-6 matchup. So, I'll keep you updated. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Coming up next segment, the head coach of Iona, Tim Kloose.
Iona.
Let's go to the phones. Open phones right now. Where are you? Where are you watching the games? How's your day going? Let's go to Escondido. Again, I'm going to be in Escondido tomorrow night at the center in Escondido. Another jungle run, another San Diego County appearance for me. It's where the jungle really got its start. I mean, theoretically in Santa Barbara, but the jungle really took hold back in the day in San Diego. Let's go to Escondido. I'll be there tomorrow night. We go there right now. Roman in Escondido. Roman, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, I'm fine. I'm watching you on TV here. I got out of the Navy, and I was working at the hospital in Escondido. And when I would come home from the operating room at night, I would hear you on the radio, and I think, who is this guy? You were saying things I never heard before. I'm from Scranton, Pennsylvania, and the newscasters back there, they work the way you work. And you said, I'm going on a road trip. I'm going up to Escondido. I'm going to go to a place called Pounders. And I thought, Pounders? I said, wow. That's a biker bar. That's right on Grand Avenue. I said, does he know what he's getting into? So I made sure that I wasn't working in the operating room that night, and I stopped in to see you. I remember you were lost. You were standing at the end of the bar. There was me and another person, and they had sort of bleacher-like setup. And I know I see you beer down and try to keep you company for the night. And I always remember that you used to bring up Hacksaw Hamilton. He was one of your old buddies there. So that's my story, Jim.
Roman, my man, that's an amazing story. Let me ask something really quick. Is that bar still there?
Yes, it is. It's right. And the windows open right onto Grand Avenue. The bikers sit there with their bikes, and they drink beer, and they look out. And that's the bar that you went to.
My man, that Roman, you're the best. That is an amazing story. That's a true story, too. All right, Roman, thank you so much. That is absolutely a true story. Let me just really quickly riff on that. So, Roman and Escondido, if it sounded like he was an older gentleman, he probably is, because the story that he's telling, if I played that soundbite of Tom Tolbert from 1998, the story that he's telling probably goes back to 91 or 92. All right, so understand this. I'm working at a local radio station in San Diego at that time, 690. And because I was like the new thing, the different thing, immediately they started to run me around town and they were sending me to bars to host things. And I remember this sales rep came to me and she said, hey, you're going to this place in Escondido called Pounders. And I said, really? When? She said, tonight. I said, what time? She said, 7. I said, what's that place like? I've never heard of it. She goes, oh, it's nice. It's really nice. I said, how nice? She said, Jim, you think I would send you someplace that's not nice? It's like the nicest place you've ever been. It's amazing. You will love it. I'm like, great, cool. And it's exactly what Roman said. I go there, and it's a biker bar. And when Roman says that he worked in the operating room, let's just say that within 5 seconds of getting into that bar, I thought that I was going to end the night in the operating room. I thought for sure I was going to get my ass kicked. But it was cool. It was fun. It worked. And the folks there were cool. And Pounders was great. I just haven't thought about Pounders in a long time. So Roman was there that night. Probably went there a couple of more times. But not since the early 1990s. That place must be awesome if it's still there and still going. I'm telling you, I'm going back to where it all started. Escondido. It didn't start at the center in Escondido, but I will be at the center in Escondido tomorrow night. Once again, hanging out with the 97.3 FM. The Fan. Fam. Big time station. And I know a lot of the other stations up and down the line are like, well, wait a minute, why? Why are you doing that? How come you don't come hang out with us? It's a fair question, but you have to understand. I got my start in San Diego. My family is down there. The Jungle family, I mean. And that radio station's been unbelievable about supporting me, supporting the program, FM station. And man, they're working it hard for the Jungle. And honestly, it's not that far from where I am. So I'll be down there. Daniel Jeremiah is coming out. My man Daniel Jeremiah is a media star, and he works hard. But he also goes way back with the Jungle. He grew up in San Diego County. So he's going to come out and chop it up with me. We're going to be watching tournament games, getting our grub on, hanging out. Hey, Jim. Huge fan of Pounders. Spent every night of my big league career there. Signed, Garv. Tim Kloos is coming up next segment. I do want to talk about Le'Veon Bell. Let me start that thought. And I'm tracking the games for you. So if you thought the Steelers drama was over when Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown left, you want to think again. Because they still have microphones being put in their faces. And these two guys still have things that they want to get off their chests. Pittsburgh has not played a game for months. Yet this is still going on. We're closer to the draft than the end of last season, and we're closer to the start of this season than we are to when Bell last played for Pittsburgh, and yet the drama just keeps on going. And the one thing that keeps coming up is Ben Roethlisberger, like Le'Veon Bell telling SI that Ben, quote, was a factor, end quote, in his decision to leave Pittsburgh. Uh-oh!
Uh-oh.
Or is Felicity Huffman would say, ruh-roh. There's more. There's always more. Le'Veon Bell said, quote, quote, quarterbacks are leaders.
Quarterbacks are leaders, and yeah, everybody going to quarterback. It is what it is. But it's like, it's still, you're still a teammate. You know what I'm saying? You're not Kevin Colbert.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're not Mr. Rooney.
Uh-oh. Or as Felicity Huffman would say, ruh-roh. Haven't we heard that before? Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? Oh, yeah, it does. Very similar to what Antonio Brown was talking about when he tweeted that Ben has, end quote, owner mentality. Bell is picking up that ball and running with it. Essentially, Bell is saying, you're supposed to be a leader, but you suck at leading. You're making yourself bigger than everybody else. And Bell was not done. He said, quote, the organization wants to win. Tomlin wants to win. Ben wants to win, but Ben wants to win his way. And that's tough to play with, end quote. And still more, quote, Ben won a Super Bowl, but he won when he was younger. Now he's at the stage where he tries to control everything, and the team let him get there, end quote. And Bell still was not done. But let me jump in here for one moment. Because some of this is just what a quarterback does, right? The next great quarterback who does not try to control everything is going to be the first. That's part of the job description when you run the show. That's what a quarterback is asked to do. That's what a quarterback is charged with doing. Controlling it. Running it. But this is where it's different according to Bell. Bell says that when Ben does it, it's personal. Quote, so if I'm mad at a player and I'm not throwing him the ball, if I'm not throwing AB the ball and I'm giving Juju all the shine, or Jesse, or Vance, or whoever it is, and you know consciously you're making your other receiver mad, but you don't care, it's hard to win that way. End quote. All right, if that's true, that's not good at all. There certainly are quarterbacks who play favorites. We know this. That's never good, but that's not the issue here. What Bell is saying is Ben punished guys that he didn't like if he was mad at them by making other guys look good. If that's true, that's bad. I mean, the point of having so many weapons on offense is you can spread the ball around. It's not so you can punish the other weapons that you're irritated with at any given moment. Again, I don't know what's true. I'm only responding to what Bell is saying. I don't know if what he's saying is true. I don't know if Ben would have games where he was angry with Antonio and would focus on making sure that Juju looked great. I mean, that seems crazy. That seems like that's insane and has nothing to do with winning. And it's personal. And that's not something that a lot of quarterbacks would do. Obviously, whenever somebody says, it's not personal, it's one thing, personal. And that's what Bell was saying here. Most quarterbacks would not do that. Most quarterbacks are not like that. But then again, Ben is not like most quarterbacks. Ben has not been shy about calling guys out in public. And that's not something that a lot of quarterbacks would do. And that does make it seem like it's pretty personal. Yeah, let's be honest about this, too. I don't know how much Bell leaving really was about Ben and how much Bell leaving really was about money. Maybe it wasn't as much about Ben for him as it was for Antonio Brown. Maybe this is only about having Antonio Brown's back. Or maybe he just wants to pile on. I don't know. But he was pretty quick to point out that he had issues with Ben and pretty quick to expand upon on those issues. So bottom line, at least two guys who were Pro Bowlers with the Steelers hated Ben. And they want everybody to know they hated Ben. And they're not done talking about hating Ben. And that's a situation where they were racking up stats, winning every single year, and they still hated their quarterback. Pretty hard to believe. But it keeps going. Bottom line, either winning is not the great deodorant, or this whole situation has some incredible BO. When we come back, Tim Kloos. I actually have even more thoughts on that. But I want to get out and make room for Iona head basketball coach Tim Kloos. That's next, and I will update you on what's going on in tournament action. That's still ahead.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This is absolutely amazing. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Tim Kloos joins me in about 10 seconds. So this guy calls up and says, Rome, I saw you at a biker bar back in the early 90s, Pounders. I said, yeah, I remember that. This guy remembers it more clearly. Mark S760 tweets, Pounders was 1992. You did a stop there every Wednesday for months. One night, I won a Jaromir Jagr poster, an Asics gym bag, and a pair of Asics shoes. Good times. It's still a tweaker bar. This guy remembers. All right, back to that in a minute. But first, we are joined by the head basketball coach at Iona. Ninth season at Iona. Has led them to the postseason tournament every year. Led the Gaels to their fourth straight conference tournament title. Four straight conference tournament titles is the longest streak in the nation. First New York metropolitan area program in 25 years to appear in four straight NCAA tournaments. They're a 16 seed in the Midwest. They go up against North Carolina tomorrow, 9:20 p.m. Eastern. Tim Kloos is my guest. Tim, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Thanks, Jim. How's everything going?
Good, good, Tim. How about you? How are things?
Doing great, thank you.
All right, so you made it going to the NCAA tournament, Tim, an annual tradition, but this season is really different. If we go back a little bit, back on December 30th, you were 2-9. Now, you did schedule some non-conference opponents that were really tough, but where was this team at that point in the season?
Yeah, we're a little bit lost in trying to find ourselves. In reality, we opened the season November 6th at home, and then we didn't play again at home until December 30th. So we were on the road for a month and a half, and you know, we didn't expect it to turn out great. We were hoping that we'd win, you know, more of those games, but we didn't. And guys were trying to find each other, and I was trying to kind of see what all my new players could do. So we had a lot of work ahead of us.
Right, so Tim, also one more point about that. You fast forward to February 8th, and even then you were 7-15 overall, 7th in the conference, but you had suffered three losses by a combined 7 points, the kind of losses that could crush a team and ruin a season. How would you describe where your players were at emotionally at that point?
You know what? Actually, I thought we were in a good place then. We had a lot of guys who got sick and hurt during that stretch, and we were playing with certain players out every other game, and certain players really sick where they should have really not even played and trying to play, and we're only losing, like you said, by a basket or two baskets and had a chance to win all of those games. So we're actually thinking if we can get healthy and get a couple of weeks of practice in together and find ourselves a little bit, we have a chance to beat all these teams.
Right, so Tim, to that point, I mean, you've got the injuries and you've got some season-ending injuries, and that meant you went into the conference tournament dressing eight scholarship players, and then you had to win three games in 4 days. How did you go about managing that challenge, and then what do you make of the way your guys responded?
I give our guys a lot of credit. They knew the situation we were in. I think they became a little better as far as managing their fouls and their plays out there so they could stay on the court longer. The guys who were at the end of our rotation really got a lot of experience during those other earlier games when people were hurt and sick. So now it was a little more comfortable, like, we're going to put you in for a minute or two, and they accepted their roles much more later on in the season than they were earlier in the season. So I thought our guys really, really focused on, I think, our two returners led the way with what it takes to win, and we just took one game at a time and try to do the best job we could.
Iona coach Tim Clues joining us. I mean, Tim, when you beat Monmouth by 21 in the conference title game last Monday, you knew you were going back to the NCAA tournament. Given everything that this team has been through over the course of the year, the things you and I are talking about, what was that moment like for you and your players?
Honestly, it was a great moment. I remember telling them we're 2-9 and even thinking to myself, imagine if we ever turned this around and got to the tournament. What a story this would be. And meaning for our own self, not a national story, but for our players to remember and our coaching staff to remember how hard it was, how hard they continue to work, and something special happened because their work ethic was so good every single day. And what a great learning lesson for them to take into life.
Tim, it's a great message from you. It's a great lesson for them. I got to ask you, even in the low points in December and February, did you always know that this team would turn it around, or was there a moment where you thought, man, it's just not meant to be, this might not happen?
Well, the way everything was happening, honestly, it was one day, you know, we'd have our star forward out sick. The next day, somebody else would get poked in the eye, he'd be out. Someone else sprained an ankle. A big guy breaks something in his ankle and has to be out for the season. It was just one different player after another. So we really go into game. What's your game plan? I don't know. Let's see who's there tomorrow, and we'll figure it out on game day. And literally, when game time hit, all right, who's healthy? Everyone, okay, let's make a quick game plan, and let's just be all about adjustments. And it was great seeing our guys in that pile after winning a championship and hugging and crying and cutting down nets for everything they went through this year. I mean, that just speaks volumes about them.
That is great. Iona head coach Tim Clues joining us. I want to ask you about Ricky McGill. He was the MVP of the conference tournament and the first player in the history of the conference to make four straight NCAA tournament trips. What has he meant to the team this year?
I think his work ethic and his toughness was all about what our team was. He was a kid who literally as a freshman, you know, really had no role on our team, and we had a discussion at the end of the season whether or not he should be back or not, and he decided to reinvent himself as far as his work ethic. And his work ethic got better and better and better. And even this year, Ricky was always a quiet leader, but as we got time and point in time, all of a sudden he starts being vocal and talking to players like a coach, came out of his shell that way, and it was just great to see that development in him. And he's really what we are. He's just a kid who plays as hard as he can every single day through injuries, through illness. You know, he doesn't miss, period. He played one NCAA tournament with a broken hand. The hand was the size of a baseball glove a couple of years ago, and he played in it and said, I'm not having the surgery until after it was over with. So, you know, we're going to really miss him.
Tim, I think that's a good message really for anybody. I'm not just talking about young athletes, but like if you had a conversation with him as a freshman and said, hey, you know what? You might want to think about transferring. You're just not working hard enough. We're again talking about a young guy who came in. He was not a stud. He was not working that hard. And you point out he completely reinvented himself, and now nobody can outwork him, and he's got this toughness that you really look for. Is that something that happened quickly? Did he just throw a switch and show up, or was that part of a process?
It was definitely a process, and he got better every single year. He worked on his body. He worked on his game. He got in the gym and started doing more. And it wasn't like overnight where he clicked it. I mean, it's like a normal thing. When you make a change in your life, you're not going to go from A to Z in one move. You're going to have to start building that process. Sometimes you're going to take a step or two back, and you got to take several steps forward again. And that was him. But I think he really took the fact that we were telling him, you're not good enough, you don't work hard enough, so either leave or change your work ethic to fit what we wanted, Iona. And we wanted the answer to be, I want to change and I want to be here, which we had two people that we brought in the office that day. One of them answered that way and stayed, and one left. So Ricky's the one who now has set all these marks that no one can ever beat. They can only tie.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I was going to say it could go either way, right? I mean, some guys will respond to that, and that'll fire them up and light a fire under their ass. Well, you know what I mean? And then others will say, like, exactly. Yeah, I don't need that. I don't want that. I don't need that. I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say the other player who he was, but I got to comment, well, basketball is not that important to me. I just want to do it for fun. I don't want to work that hard at it. So, okay, and I like the young man and all that. So I said, then you should find a school that you can do that at. This is not school for that.
Tim Kluse joining us. All right, so I remember years ago when you and I were talking about your days before coaching, you were a police officer and a bartender. What's it like now that you're in position where you've won four straight conference titles?
Honestly, it's pretty cool. Sometimes I sit there and just like, you know, I really feel like I'm really blessed from the man above, no doubt about it, to give me this opportunity to make a difference in people's lives. And again, I think when you ask guys to work hard, when you have success, that message will resonate more with them than when you have failure. So the only thing I know is to work hard and try your best, and it's really worked out for us, and I'm blessed.
Tim, one more thing about that. Even more impressive than that change is there's a story about when you got the varsity job at St. Mary's High School and you show up for the first day of tryouts, that there are kids trying to kick rubber basketballs into the hoop, and somebody was on stage playing a musical instrument. Is that true?
Family, who became my point guard, was on stage playing a saxophone, and there was three rubber balls that they had left us, and they were trying to kick the balls in from half court. And that's what I walked into, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, what did I just take over here?
Right, and then years later, you've got yourself a dynasty at Iona. So you've got North Carolina tomorrow. You are no stranger to facing enormous challenges. How do you go about preparing for this one?
You know what, just like any other thing, we know how talented they are and how good they are and the type of game we would have to play to be competitive in this game, and we know that. But that's why you play these games, and that's why you accept these challenges. Nobody thought a couple of months ago that when we were 2-9 or 7-15, that we'd even be having this conversation that we'd be in. So these guys have completely overachieved on the year. So all I said to them is, just keep doing that. Just come out tomorrow, play the hardest you can play for 40 minutes, no matter what happens. Just give us your hardest 40 minutes. Represent yourself the way you have all year with your work ethic. And that's really what I'm looking forward to. And I think it's just a great opportunity. You're playing against the best team in the country, or one of the top two or three teams in the country this year, and against a Hall of Fame program.
I was going to say, it's a lifetime opportunity. It's an amazing opportunity. Go out there, have fun, just compete, do what you do.
Exactly. Right.
Easy for me to say, Tim, but that's how it seems. So you're a 16 seed in the Midwest. It's Iona versus North Carolina tomorrow. What an amazing turnaround this season, and they've got an opportunity of a lifetime. Tim, it's great to visit with you. Always great to visit with you this time of year. Good luck with that one. Have fun.
Thanks, Jim, and you be well.
You too, Tim. You be well. Always look forward to talking to Tim Kluse, head basketball coach at Iona. This is why we do this. You might not know about him. You might not know about the background. You might not know that Iona was 2-9. At one point this season, 7-15. And they go into their conference tournament with 8 scholarship players. They've got to win 3 games in 4 days, and they do that. And now they will go up against the one, North Carolina. Again, first New York metropolitan area program in 25 years to appear in 4 straight NCAA tournaments. You didn't know that, but I guarantee Rich Ackerman did. Yeah, I'll take it right now, Alvin. A major bracket alert. It's a final. The Patino family is partying hard right now. How hyped is Richard and Pops? Minnesota, a 10, upsets Louisville, a 7. What's that for? Is it a party, Albie? Yeah, what the hell? Go ahead. Patino family earned it. Minnesota 86, Louisville 76. Final. Major upset. As much as a 10-7 can be, but that one's deeply personal. Really personal. And this is exactly why the committee put those two together in the event something like that might happen. And it did. Minnesota 86, Louisville 76. There is your bracket alert. LSU battling Yale. 6-point game now. 125 left. LSU, a 3, is up 68-62. Yale's a 14. At halftime, Auburn, a 5, is up on New Mexico State, 32-29. Florida State, man, everybody's talking about Florida State. I just mentioned it. Florida State is one of those matchups against Vermont where people are looking at Florida State saying, that's an upset special right there. A 13-4 matchup. And sure enough, right now, Florida State's in a dogfight. 25-25, 3:33 in the first half. Minnesota 1, coming up in about 5 minutes. Michigan State and Bradley tip. That's a 15-2 matchup. Belmont and Maryland coming up in about a half hour from right now. That's an 11-6 tilt. Who else do you like? Another game that I'm really interested in. Nevada and Florida. A lot of people going hard for Florida. Not believing in Nevada and Eric Musselman's squad, that they have not played that well of late, that they're a little bit out of sync. Nevada is a 7. Nevada was a top 10 team earlier this year. Nevada, I think, got all the way up to number 6, and they're a 7. They're 29-4. Who do you like in that game? 1-800-636-8686. Big show for you tomorrow, and I will be in Escondido tomorrow. All right, this one's kind of off the boards. And it has been 46 days since the Pats fit the Rams for a straitjacket back in the ATL. But there is still one order of business from the Super Bowl, apparently, that has to be tended to. That is the people versus Adam Levine's nipples. Yes, I said it. Yes, the sentence came flying out of my gap. Because as soon as that dude's shirt flew from his body, you knew that there'd be some folks that were going to write letters and rush to their stationery to scribble one out to the FCC about the grotesque scene that the lead singer of Maroon 5 put on during the halftime show. For those who do not remember or did not see it, Adam Levine ripped off his tee during Maroon 5's performance, and the world lost its collective mind, but for different reasons. You had the ladies losing their bleep over the dude's physique. You had the dudes losing their bleep over their ladies losing their bleep over the dude's physique. And you had 58 others losing their bleep over the dude's exposed nips. I don't track that sort of thing, but Deadspin does. And ever since 2012, they have kept tabs on how many complaints that the FCC gets during the Super Bowl. And according to them, this is the most since Wacko's sister had her wardrobe ripped off on live TV. The outrage from the complaints to me is pretty hilarious. With all due respect, a viewer from Kentucky wrote, "I was horrified to see Adam Levine take off his shirt and expose his nipples. It is absolutely not the place for nipples on national TV while children are watching. It is morally reprehensible. I am appalled," end quote. Somebody from San Antonio wrote, "It is unacceptable for Adam Levine to take his shirt off on television. Football should be a family-friendly, and a man half-naked is highly offensive," end quote. Another person from North Carolina wrote, "I saw two naked nipples on Adam Levine's chest after he removed his shirt. Naked nipples should not be shown during primetime broadcasts," end quote. But of all the 58 complaints, maybe the best one came from Indianapolis. Quote, "I witnessed the exposure of nipples during the halftime show of the Super Bowl. My children were watching. If I wanted them exposed to that trash, I would let them go hog wild on Pornhub." Adam Levine and the NFL need to be punished for such indecency. End quote. I'm not sure what's better. Outing yourself for being a Pornhub viewer by name dropping it perfectly, or equating your kids seeing a shirtless dude singing as going hog wild on a porn website. Safe to say this parent is not going to take their kids to the beach anytime soon. Either because this parent is too busy going hog wild on Pornhub themselves, or all these shirtless dudes at the beach would constitute a visual orgy for their kids. 58 complaints in total. 42 more complaints than combined points scored in that game. I mean, I could sit here all day long and make the point that cheerleaders were wearing less clothing every Sunday than Adam Levine did on stage at the Super Bowl. Or point to the hypocrisy that football is a pretty violent game where dudes are beating each other's brains in. But you'd call that family friendly. Or bring up the fact that the jersey exchanges after the games every single week often expose naked nipples on primetime TV. What's the point, though? There's no reasoning with folks like that. We're going to write those letters to the FCC. I mean, they write freaking letters to the FCC. The alternative of changing the channel takes exactly 1 second. But you'd rather sit through it, get outraged, pull out your quill and some ink, and scribble that out. As a very wise, wise Mike Tyson said way back in the day.
You have a problem, turn off your station.
Getting bent about a pair of man nips on TV? Kind of crazy, right? Aren't there so many more important things to be genuinely offended by? I don't know, like the time the Red Hot Chili Peppers did not plug in their instruments for their halftime show? Or the fact that the Red Hot Chili Peppers actually got up on stage for the halftime show? Now, if there's anything worth writing a letter to the FCC about, it's that. But as long as you have a remote and the willpower, I mean, I'm not telling you to change the channel, but if you're that offended by that, maybe you do that. Or go hog wild on Pornhub or do whatever you gotta do. 58 people did that. Hey, look, I was offended, but not for that reason. I was offended for a lot of other reasons. Their music. You know, if you want to get into the guy's ink. The music. Hey, how about this? How about this? Their music. At SA Sports Honk tweets, hey, Rome, tell Hawk, if he gives me a ride to and from Escondido, I'll promise to pick him up at around the 10-mile marker on Saturday. Sign Fabian. At TFP Wee tweets, I was more offended by his music and frat prank tattoos. Right.
Okay.
Now, if you want to write a letter to the FCC about Adam Levine, man, why don't you write about their music? Now, that's something that you should write a letter about. I agree with that. Haven't checked in with you today yet, Hawk. Let's go ahead and do it, Adam Hawk. Executive producer, Adam Hawk. All right, so Adam, it's Thursday. Sunday is the LA Marathon. What did you do yesterday to prepare for the upcoming marathon?
Yesterday, I think I had a large cheese pizza from Combos in Fullerton. Great spot. And watched Jeopardy as I usually do. Hung out with the fam.
So you did no exercise?
No, but I did plan out the outfit for Sunday, which is very important. A lot of tie-dye for Sunday coming up. And then also I got, we're on the subject, so it's kind of topical. I did get my order of nipple protectors in the mail from Amazon.
Why?
26 miles on the road like that, you're begging for some chafing. So
you probably won't go more than seven.
Still,
another
that's
a waste of money.
It's a long, well, the nipple protectors, $5, Amazon Prime.
Let me tell you something. If your thinking is, I'm going to go through with this because I paid $190, the fact that you paid $5 for nipple protectors, you better finish that race. You just paid $5.
Yeah, I fully plan on finishing the race.
Why don't you plan on it?
I'm getting more and more confident as the time goes by.
Why?
Some guy who is like a major triathlon athlete called in after hours and has been like sending me encouraging texts and coaching me up.
Saying what?
Just that I can do it. I just got to go slow and low and just a real nice like 13 and a half minute per mile jog.
What is that times 26?
I haven't done that yet, but he says I'll finish. It'll be under around 5.5, I think, something like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you need 5.5. All right, so this is going down. When was the last time you put on your shoes and ran more than 5 feet?
A couple of Sundays ago. So not this last Sunday. And I don't even know if it was the Sunday before. It's on my phone. I track it on a Nike Run Club, but I would have to look that up, and that's bad radio. But it's been a while. It's been like 2.5 weeks.
All your radio is bad radio, but that hasn't stopped you until now. Dude, is there not a legitimate concern that something really bad could happen to you physically? I'm being serious now.
Yeah, there's obviously that concern. You know, a lot of things could happen. I could have failure of joints. Ligaments, a lot of stuff. Heart attack, yeah.
You could die.
Could die, absolutely. But
I'd have to replace you. Your wife would have to replace you. Your kids would have to replace you. Your family would have to replace you. And for what? $190.
Yeah, but there's a lot of glory at the end of that finish line. Like I said, I want the medal because I'm going to wear it Monday. And I want the sticker because it'll be on my car for the rest of eternity. I want it bad.
I know you want it, but there's a lot of things we want. You know, I want it to be 6'2" and be able to run a 40 in 4.25 seconds. It didn't happen.
But you have a lot that you've accomplished that you can look back on and be proud of. I'm still looking for that.
Well, you're something else, dude. You really are something else. I got to get out. All right, man. Do what you do. Eat some more fat today. Don't do any work and keep lying to yourself. Huge call brought to you by Gold Eagle. Hey, do you have time to wax your car? The new 303 Touchless Sealant. Touchless Sealant will save you hours. It takes minutes to apply. Simply spray on and rinse off, and it protects up to 2 times longer than traditional waxes. More protection and shine with less effort and time. It's available at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As a champion of a half dozen three-hour marathons, I want to give Hawk some last-minute advice. Stay in bed Sunday morning, you little punk. Seriously, Hawk, you can't even finish a 5K without stopping for an extended water break. You're going to get absolutely torched whether you walk an eight-hour marathon or don't show up at all. So save yourself the unnecessary pain, misery, and probable death. Better yet, shave that stupid mustache, dye your hair purple, and move back to Seattle, where you can reconnect with all the other new age weirdos and start your career at the local gourmet coffee shop, although they'll probably hate you there too. And I'm so glad the tournament finally started, Jim. Now maybe Tom Izzo will stop bitching about how his team got jobbed in the seedings. Listen up, old man. You should be eternally grateful they didn't kick your ass curbside after that Larry Nassar scandal. You couldn't handle that thing any worse, you enabling scumbag. And last thing, Jim, I know you mentioned a smack-off date's going to be announced soon, so let me be the first to RSVP. I don't care when it is or what's on my schedule. You can bet your ass I'll be there. You can have it on the friggin' moon and I'd find my way. Body bags in tote. Ward Buffalo and Michigan surviving the weekend and then squaring off in an epic Sweet 16 showdown. Unwar Bobby Hurley. Blue chippers like Arizona State should be wildly celebrating Final Four appearances, not playing games. Thanks for the vine, Jim. I'm out.
That's when you know what the answer to that question is.
Rick in Buffalo. Here you go, Rick. That's how you do it. Now we are done.
Now I'm done.
Kay Savage is back. She tweets, if Adam Hawk drops dead, I'm still available for that seat. Lady Clone. All right, Kay. I got you. I got you, Katie. I'll keep that in mind. She's rooting for him to die. I got to get out. Tim Kloos. I own a head basketball coach. John Brannan, Northern Kentucky head coach. PJ Tucker, Houston Rocket. And that's it. Let's make sure we come in strong. Finish strong tomorrow. And I will be in Escondido tomorrow night. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. See you. We're out.